Hey everyone, it's 7:30 on Monday, November 15th. This is episode 13 of Radio Show with Jeff and Jeremy. I'm Jeremy.
This is Jeff.
And we cover all sorts of topics in 45 minutes, including Cleveland happenings, relationship advice, financial advice. We haven't really done financial advice, which is probably better.
That probably is a good thing. We need some emails on financial advice, so I kind of want to talk about that.
Oh, do you have some good financial advice to dish out?
I think you have to save your money.
Yeah.
And the old saying is, don't spend more than you make.
You know, lately I've been listening to a lot. Because I listen to podcasts. I listen to other podcasts well. I've been listening to some financial podcasts. And, some guys out there are really big on the whole idea of spending every dime that you can to pay off your debts. Like those big anti-debt. Like some people are even like anti-house debt. You know, like the idea being don't even save anything until all your debts are paid off, because it doesn't make sense to save if you have debt.
Yeah. Interesting. I received advice not quite as hardline as that, but the advice I got was pay off the monthly bills you can pay off as soon as you can, which makes a lot of sense to free up cash flow. So like the smaller student loan type of bills, pay those off quickly and then kind of peck away at the bigger ones. But just it's all about freeing up cash flow for every month.
So you go for the smaller ones first?
Yep, student loans was what I did. Knock that one out, and then working on cars.
Yeah, cars? You have multiple cars?
I do. Shoot, yes.
You do, really?
I do. I have the Jeep.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Did we discuss that?
No. I don't think so. Is that why your Audi's always not there?
Yes.
Oh, all right.
Partially. There's a lot of reasons for that. But actually, in grade school, this is, I think, great. St. Bernadette's and Westlake. Mm-hmm. Got to give a shout out. Go Bulldogs, by the way. I know they're getting ready for their basketball season. I'm always a big fan of watching them in the standings there. But St. Bernadette's brought in credit counselors. We're in seventh grade, which seems a little insane now, but I also think it was great. You're 12 years old, and they're bringing in these credit counselors to explain to you what it means to have a job, to have a paycheck, to spend money reasonably. If you do get into debt, that there are people out there like them that can help you with your debt. For a 12-year-old, it was a little over our heads at the same time, but it was great to get a little exposure to that too. I kind of like that now looking back.
Yeah, I think kids these days just think that their parents are like an ATM machine. They don't quite get it. I've been pretty fortunate. I think I don't know if it was from fear or whatever growing up, but I've been pretty good with I wasn't one of those guys that got into the 20 grand in credit card debt or something.
And you don't want to stereotype genders. Ready for this
but
one?
We're about to.
But anytime you say you don't want to do something, but we're going to anyway.
Right, right.
I do happen to think of friends that are men and women. I hate to do this, but I think that more often than not.
You don't hate to do this, Jeff. You love to do this.
Women tend to roll up a little bit more in terms of the credit card debt because of shopping, et cetera, et cetera. And I've seen some of my guy friends that end up marrying girls with a good amount of credit card debt. And it's something they have to work on. But you hate to stereotype. But I grew up. Really, always, I had a paper out when I was young, and I was always I was kind of a little Alex Keaton, I was known as in the neighborhood.
Nobody called you that.
I call it myself.
There's little Alex Keaton. Hey, everyone, please refer to me as little Alex Keaton.
Can you have your own nickname, start your own nickname?
I don't know.
But I had a paper out when I was young, always just saving money since I was like 10 years old. I never really got in a lot of debt. The closest I came, I'm kind of proud of this. I graduated college with literally $150 in my bank account, right? I mean, most people in a similar boat, graduated college, very little money, tried living home, lasted about a month. I just couldn't take it living at home when you're used to being on your own.
Yeah.
Thought I could make that work maybe 6 months, lasted a month, got three friends, got a house in Cleveland Heights, and I literally had one asset left to liquidate, and that was some stock my godfather gave me when I was born. It was actually IBM stock. He was really ahead of his time in the mid-70s. So he gave me some IBM stock that actually had grown a decent amount. And so I'm 22 years old, had nothing, literally no assets. I went out, hunted down this stock, sold it all, and basically had enough for like 3 months rent. And I kind of liked it. It was a fairly ballsy move. So sold the stock, paid the first 2 months rent, and figured, okay, I'll have to get some sort of job, whether it's mowing lawns. I didn't have a job lined up. I'll do something to bring in money. And it's kind of nice when you kind of bet on yourself, put it all on the line, and it works out. So that was the point where I was really a little nervous, and since then it's been uphill.
Now, do you do stocks now and stuff, or do you just kind of do the?
Like, no, I do through
like I just do my 401k.
Yeah, exactly. Through my work, I do mutual funds, which I can't really touch till I'm 60, I guess, or 59 and a half, whatever that best.
Yeah, there's some penalties.
But yeah, but that's really my focus now is through my work, and I don't dabble. I'm not a day trader in the market. I tried that in college a little bit. I tried, you know, like over vacations. Buying stocks and trying to looking at the history and saying, okay, maybe I could make like 10% in a week.
Yeah.
It never worked out. But I would try this day trading over like Christmas break.
Yeah.
And I would always lose at least a quarter of it.
Yeah.
Never worked out. So people do that successfully. I am not one of them.
So don't take financial advice or at least stock advice from Jeff.
I think. Yes. Or do the opposite perhaps. We could maybe play that
round. That's right. That's right. We should have made short bets.
Yes, exactly.
You, I guess. Just short everything that
always
Jeff says.
Bet against Longsworth. That's a good life rule.
All right. Hey, if you're listening live, if it's 7:36 Eastern on Monday where you are, you can join us and your fellow live listeners in the chat room at radioshowonline.com. I hope they all fit.
The chat room is a forum that has no limits. The topics are all over the place. It's to me, it's just a free-flowing democracy at its best.
It's what we refer to as the back channel. So we're talking here,
yeah.
And in the chat room, people are mocking us.
People are, they're openly debating our value to society.
Right.
There's all sorts of debates going on in the chat room. I love it. To me, it's...
They're pretty much against us. Sometimes I think, like, if you would think that if you hated someone that much, you wouldn't spend so much of your time, like, listening to their show and just berating them.
Yeah, but they have the need to like vocalize it every week to say, hey, let's put this out there. These guys are awful.
I love them no matter who they are. You can also friend us on Facebook or send an email to hatemail@radioshowonline.com. And if we read it on the air, you can pick out any car on Jeff's street.
Literary between West 5th and West 7th. Yep. Whatever's there, just come over and we'll set it up.
But we will deny knowing anything about this contest if the cops arrest you.
And we can delete these shows very easily.
Oh, so Jeff, let me ask you, how was your weekend?
You know what? It was a great weekend. First of all, how about Saturday? Could there be a more beautiful day in the history of the earth?
I'm sure in the history of the earth there's been.
I would say no. Days.
I mean, it was up there.
We disagree, but it was a fantastic day.
For November, for something like, like in November, it was.
I'll say for any day. I thought it was just perfect.
It wasn't that warm.
That's where I'm at right now.
Did my voice just like squeak like there?
I think it did. I'm a 60s type of guy. I'm a San Francisco Bay Area. I feel like that's where I should live. I like the 60s, low 70s. It was just right. But we started off the weekend with a plum.
I don't understand. I don't understand this word that you claim.
I just love the word a plum.
So you posted this on our Facebook wall. APLOMB.
Yes.
And it's pronounced a plum.
A plum.
And what does it mean?
Confidence. Poise.
I don't have this.
I'm handling this radio show with great aplomb. A plum.
I'm looking it up right now. I don't believe it's a word.
Oh, anyway,
challenging in the script.
While you're looking that up, we'll talk about how we start off the weekend.
Yeah.
Now we've already had a couple happy hours, which we're gonna kind of fill up on from a couple weeks ago. We started at Pier W, which what was your take on Pier W? There's a just to recap for everyone. Plain Dealer put out a 50 top 50. They didn't really rank it, but they said here are 50 bars with good happy hours around the city. Our goal is to try them out one at a time and see what the good and bad are. We went to Pier W. On Lakewood's Gold Coast, just inside the Lakewood border, or is that in Cleveland?
That is in Lakewood. So just in Lakewood. 117th is like the border between Cleveland and Lakewood. So it's west of 117th.
And I always thought of Pier W as kind of an older people type of restaurant, kind of fancy.
Yeah, it was. But they recently renovated it like a couple years back and made it a lot more modern inside. And they have like awesome views because it's basically, if I may use a word that you probably won't understand, it's basically cantilevered over the lake.
Okay.
Do you know what that means?
No.
Good. So, you know, it has a big wall of windows overlooking Lake Erie, and you can see Cleveland skyline, and it's really awesome. And, they do have a good happy hour, and when we went, it was packed.
It was, and not with older people.
Well, you might consider it, and it was it's actually funny. There was actually a comment on Foursquare because Jeff and I are nerds and try to check in every single place we go. But there was a comment. I don't have it on me right now, but he was commenting about the let's say older women that might establish. You might call them a cougar.
The cougar, yes.
He was talking about his Foursquare tip for PeerW was the great cougar selection. That could be found there, especially during happy hour.
A bastion of cougars, yeah.
A bastion. A den, if you will.
It was a den. We walked into the cougar den. We were surrounded.
But the bar was actually full, and originally we had to actually, they asked us if we could sit in the dining room. They were still going to give us the happy hour menu.
Right.
But you came in and you said, none of this. Give us a seat at the bar and demanded one.
I want to experience the full PeerW happy hour. And it was great. I tell you, it was great. Food was very reasonable. Drinks were great. Half price, or it was whatever the discount was.
Yeah, special. Yeah, it's been so long.
We meant
now.
To do that week.
Yeah, we meant to do this review like a month ago, but oh well.
But we had a great time there, and that was really our way to kick off the tour of bars for happy hours.
Right.
Went to Metro Bar, West 6th, and St. Clair. This past Friday night,
yep.
Which I enjoyed. I have not been there since it changed from Metropolitan. Basically the same bar, I guess a little different here and there.
Yeah.
But great, huge bar to sit at. You had the famous, what they're famous for, the alcoholic milkshakes.
Yes. And now, do you think, did my masculinity get called?
No, it didn't, but I felt like, but there's a caveat here, but I felt like if I would have had one as well at the same time with you, if we both ordered milkshakes, that would have made me uncomfortable and hopefully everyone in the bar uncomfortable.
Or if we would have had one milkshake and just shared two straws, yeah. But it's alcoholic, so we're allowed to
drink. We're all drinking here at the bar, right? We're having a good time.
I gotta say though, did you notice that woman that like sat next to me though?
She was chatting up a little bit.
Yeah, she kept trying to like be part of our conversation. She was there by herself, and she could have been maybe considered a cougar. I think
she was a cougar.
You were facing her more.
Yeah, she was a bad cougar.
Bad cougar.
Bad cougar.
Rawr. But
she was a decrepit cougar.
She kept like trying to be part of our conversation. She was there by herself, which is it's fine to go to a bar by yourself and hang out and get. But it just seemed, I don't know. She seemed like she was trying too hard or something.
And we would like try and be polite, you know, and she had something to say. She would overhear certain things. We would let her in. But I wasn't all about them like bringing her. I wasn't drawing her into the conversation. I was kind of like, you know, like the
pushing
animals.
Her away.
With like the stools backwards with the lions. Right. I was doing that with her, like her a as a cougar. Exactly.
Right, the cougar stool.
Yeah, I had a cougar stool. I had a verbal cougar stool.
You beat her with your cougar stick. I don't know what that means.
I don't either.
But no, so that was good. I had the short rib sandwich, which I thought was okay.
I had as well. I thought it was really good.
Okay. Well, my standards are a little higher than Jeff's.
Right, right.
But
I'm used to just eating out of a trough.
Jeff just normally, he's used to eating outside the...
I'm used to grain pellets in a trough, so this was just above that.
He's used to eating the trash bin behind Metro. And to actually be sitting at the bar on a stool... With hot food.
I was happy to be there.
Assembled. It was a special night for you.
It really was.
But yeah, and after that, so you then left me.
Yes.
And then snuck over to Chop House.
Chop House. Now, I don't believe Chop House is on their list of the Plain Dealers list, that is. So this bothers me.
The official.
We need their own list. That was my Bible of happy hours, but now I'm disappointed because their happy hour, Jeremy, on Fridays goes till 9 o'clock.
Holy crap.
It was really amazing. So I got there because we probably left Metro around 7:30. I was able to hang out there for an hour and a half, 2 hours. And they have obviously their microbrewery. I had some of their great beers, big servings too. I would say like 16-ounce glasses, like $3 a beer till 9.
Wow.
I mean, it was incredible. Wow. It's the best kept secret. And actually the front bar area, if you know when you walk in, there's that kind of smaller bar area on the left. Wow. That was really crowded. But I've never heard of a happy hour like that to go till 9, and I was just really happy
and
I was there.
Did you have anything to eat?
No, it was just drinking. I just enjoyed some of their micro brews. But great, man, to tell you, I will do that more often. I just would never think of them for happy hour.
Did you eat your whole sandwich at Metro?
I did.
Okay. Because sometimes...
But I did throw up after.
Oh, that's why I went to the bathroom?
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Because sometimes I have half a sandwich, which the one time you still bring up that I had a...
That was actually at PeerW.
It was, but I remember we had calamari. There was some servings in there, some other courses, and I thought, you know what, this is enough.
Yeah.
But I did eat the whole sandwich.
A big heaping helping of calamari. It's, oh, too full.
You know, that is, yeah.
Jeff ordered a burger, and he's like, can you cut it up and put one half in a styrofoam box before you even bring the other half out to me? Or else I'll be tempted to eat it. And then I'm going to go
And then I asked for a padlock. Remember, it was getting really weird. But that was was not a typical night for me. I usually can eat a whole sandwich.
Mm-hmm. So then Sunday came. You know, well, wait, Saturday night you said you went to the
Clarks
concert.
The best band in the history of the world. I've been using the history of the world. I like that reference tonight.
Yeah.
The Clarks to me, and to me, so you can't say no about this.
No.
You, to me, they're the best assemblage of musical people ever put together to form one band. They're called the Clarks. They're out of Pittsburgh. They come here once a year.
Ooh.
I first started going to see them at John Carroll my sophomore year. And just kind of grew up with their music through college. And they're just a fantastic band. I know every song. They played for about 2 hours at the Grog Shop Saturday night.
Wow.
It was awesome. I mean, it was just honestly one of the best nights for me. I love seeing them. Been seeing them for 15 years. And it was just a great, great night. A great crowd. I think they almost sold out the Grog Shop, which is not a huge venue. But, you know, you get 200, 300 people in there.
Yeah.
It's a great, great place to watch a show because everything's pretty close to the stage.
If we had been more on top of it, I would have started with some Clark's music.
Yes, yes.
But alas, that's what we get for preparing 5 minutes in advance.
That's right, that's right. It always comes back to bite us.
All
right,
so then Sunday, the Browns play
Browns,
the Jets.
Browns, what a letdown, huh?
Now, but you went to the game, right?
I did not.
Oh, you didn't
go? I'll tell you why.
Oh, tell me why, Jeff.
I had a really fun night Saturday, was out a little late, and really just soaking in every minute of the Clarks. So I felt like I slept in Sunday, I was kind of feeling lazy. Had kind of a hunch the Browns weren't going to win.
Ugh.
I know that's not what you want to hear, but I was weighing the pros and cons. You know, going to the stadium, doing the whole thing, the tailgating, it's all wrapped up one to me. It's a long day. So I thought, why not just go to the bar with some other friends, relax, watch the game, not deal with the crowd. And that is what happened. And I hate to say luckily they lost because that's not right, but I would have been really mad if they had won and I missed it. So it ended up sort of working out for me.
Oh, good. Well, glad it worked out for you, Jeff.
But I didn't miss a big win. But I was disappointed. But I will say this, and now this is kind of a Cleveland thing, and I don't mean to be pulling the Cleveland card, our mentality about we expect very little. But the fact that they are competitively playing, the Jets are a first-place team. I know we didn't win, but we took them to overtime. We were in the game. We had chances to win. And I just think we've turned the corner, the Browns have, in terms of being a competitive team. We're not winning every game, but look what we're doing against good teams. We're taking them to overtime.
Yeah.
I think there's a positive in there. I know people don't want to hear that necessarily, but I believe that.
No, I agree. No, it was a good game. It wasn't, I mean, it was a good game. There was a couple mistakes. I think mistakes happen in any game, but it was a good game. It was an enjoyable game. It was tense. The Jets are 6-2, and we were, what, 4-5?
Three and five. Yeah.
Right? So, you know, I mean, you can't be, like, pissed. I mean, you can be pissed, yeah. But you know what I'm saying.
But you know what was funny? I was in map room watching this. And did you see part of the game or any of the
game?
Yeah,
I watched it at home.
As we were going towards the end, they had that great drive at the end to tie it up with about a minute left. And in the bar, you've seen the movie Major League.
Yeah.
You know, when they're watching the World Series and they show the shots of the bars, quote unquote, around Cleveland. And the fans are stomping on the bar. It was that type of scene in map room. People were stomping on the bar, screaming. People were up on chairs yelling. I mean, this town is, it just goes back to this town is so hungry for any sort of winner. So I almost felt like as good as it would have been to be at the game, the atmosphere in the map room was just incredible. People were going crazy.
Yeah. No, sometimes going to the bars, especially, you know, like, yeah, downtown Warehouse District area, I mean, sometimes that can be a better crowd. You can drink past fourth quarter if you're at the bar.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, it can get a little crazier, a little more rowdy. So.
But it's just the atmosphere is great. And then you have all the traffic leaving. So why would you leave then? So we stick around and wait for the cars to clear out. So I was happy with the decision Sunday. It was a great, great day.
Yeah, cool. All right. So now for your job, you're traveling a lot. And
yes.
When we were at Metro, you were all gushy, all giddy and
happy smitten.
And ready to go buy a house in, of all cities, Columbus.
Jeremy, Columbus, they got me, Jeremy. I'm smitten. I'm in. I'm all in on Columbus. I have driven through that city probably 500 times.
Yeah.
And I just never really had friends there consistently. I've had some friends in grad school here and there at Ohio State, but never really had the opportunity to spend time in the city. My work meetings are always out kind of in the country, in the suburbs. So I had a little bit of a window this week where I had free time, and I just decided to hang out in downtown Columbus to see what it's all about. My stereotype of Columbus, my preconception was very cookie-cutter places, a lot of malls, not a lot of character, just kind of a bland, generic place.
Which is true in the suburbs.
In the suburbs it is, and that was my exposure.
Yeah.
I go downtown. Oh, man. I mean, it is unbelievable. I went to dinner in Short North, which now basically connects the arena to Ohio State all along High Street. I was very impressed with Short North. Kind of reminded me of a Tremont, Coventry type of atmosphere, some great restaurants, nicer places, galleries. So really got to walk around Short North, went to this.
Did you buy any art?
I did not buy any art, but I did go to Bernard's Tavern, had a nice little dinner there. It was more of a sports type bar, but a great place, great people at Bernard's. And then the next day I hung out in German Village, which was unbelievable. Like the brick roads and the houses, it's just such an aesthetic, like the neighborhood was just incredibly well put together and well maintained, and everything was just great. So I had his lunch at Schmidt's German, kind of like their Sokolowski's, the buffets with the brats and sausage and yam and apples, which I never had before.
Yam and apples.
That was good. Unbelievable. So I got to experience Schmidt's, had a huge thing of dark beer.
Did they serve it to you in a yam bag?
There was no yam bag involved. Okay. But I did have a huge dark beer that was like as tall as my arm. It was probably like, you know, 2 feet tall.
Now, to be fair, you do have small arms.
I do have small arms. They're really nubs. They're nub-like.
That's basically a shot glass.
That's all relative.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, I had the whole experience there with the German, with the beer and the buffet. So I left Columbus, Jeremy, a changed man. I am not the same person that went into Columbus.
Wow. Now, I think Columbus is a nice city. I think you also always experience that when, like you said, when you had this preconceived notion that was kind of negative, and you go in and it was nicer than you expected, you know, you're going to have that kind of, oh, this is awesome feeling because you've kind of never done it before. And it's kind of in your own backyard. It's only 2 hours away from Cleveland here. Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting town. You know, we were talking at happy hour that there's basically two, I feel like, economic engines that kind of drive Columbus. It's, you know, since it's Ohio's capital, you have the political side of it.
Right.
And then you also have OSU, which has, what, 70,000 undergrads, you know, plus graduate students. So you have this huge population of students going to Columbus, and a lot of them end up staying there, which is key. And if we could get more of that in, like, Cleveland, like, that's a big problem with Cleveland right now is we have some great colleges in Northeast Ohio, but then a lot of people come up here and come to school here, and not enough of them, you know, stay within the city or even within the county.
Yep, and I've heard people talking about that, the local business leaders, politicians, that the goal is if we can keep just half of the people that come in out of town to go to school at Case or Cleveland State or John Carroll or BW.
Or Ball Balls. Thank you.
Yeah, I want to get that in there. But you're right, keeping them here in town would be a huge thing. And the city has the base of schools, and we don't have Ohio State or the state government, but we have Cleveland Clinic, we have UH, which are huge employers, and we have big companies that are headquartered here, world headquarters, Parker Hannifin, Eaton. There are centers of employment here that I think can compete with other places around the country. So you're right, key is getting these people jobs right out of school. Make it easy.
Yeah, sorry. So the I think one of the issues too is that Cleveland, you know, of course had this big industrial background that, you know, with the whole loss of industrial manufacturing jobs kind of took a nosedive, where Columbus didn't have that ever to lose.
Right.
So they've been more on a slower upward path and haven't had that dip that cities like Cleveland and Detroit and Pittsburgh have, you know, these old steel industrial cities have faced. So they kind of had that advantage. But yeah, no, I mean, Columbus is good. It's all in the great state of Ohio. So, you know, give some love to our Ohio peeps. Speaking of which, so John Kasich is now governor-elect of Ohio. And he has gone on record as saying he wants to kill this what they call the 3C rail project, which stands for, it's this train that's going to connect Cleveland, Columbus, Cincinnati. And I think there's Dayton is in there as well.
I'm not sure if Dayton's in there. I know the 3Cs, but
yeah,
I don't know how that would
work. I thought it turned over to Dayton.
So it's like to basically take 70 from Columbus over to Dayton and go down south
over,
on
79. Something like that.
Yeah.
But they still call it the 3Cs. So yeah. I don't know. Now my question to you is, Jeff, do we need a train? Because I know a lot of people are for this because there's supposedly $400 million in federal money that's like, ooh, we'll give you $400 million to build this rail line. Do we need it? Would you ride it? That's my question.
Well, I would. Now, if you asked me this question a week ago, Jeremy, I hadn't quite fallen in love with Columbus yet.
But now, it takes me right to Columbus.
I'm going to start writing letters to politicians. I want this rail because I tell you what, I've never been to Ohio State game, and I would spend more time in Columbus if the rail option existed. I truly would.
Okay, but you have two cars.
Yes.
That would take you there quicker. If you took a train, you would A, have to pay. B, it would take you longer. C, once you're in Columbus, you would need to get additional transportation.
That's true. But I still like the idea of being able to relax on a train, you know, bring a paper, book, take a nap, enjoy the train ride down, go to the game. And I'm sure Columbus isn't that big. I'm sure they'd have a stop near Ohio State. I would still like the idea of going down for a day trip. And I think that in Columbus, you can get around fairly easily. It's not a huge city, particularly on the north side. So I think that the pros would outweigh the cons for me for a nice day trip or a one-night trip.
So what about if there is this demand that some people say that there is to go, you know, a route to yeah. Columbus and Cincinnati, why not have something like a mega bus? Why not have a bus?
Yeah. That
the infrastructure is already there. It's not going to cost any additional dollars. I mean, building a rail line and maintaining a completely separate infrastructure, to me, doesn't make sense when we can already use the roads and highways that we have. I understand the idea. Like, I like trains. Like, when I was a little kid, I liked yeah. train sets. And I think that a lot of Americans have this thing like, ooh, wouldn't it be awesome if we were like Europe and you can jump on
the high-speed rails
and take it everywhere. Yes. But Europe is hundreds of years older than America. These cities and these systems evolved before cars exist.
So would this be a high speed rail or just a train?
They say it's high speed, but I think the max speed for the 3C rail in Columbus in Ohio, the max speed it's going to hit is about 70 some miles per hour.
Because there's one in Columbus there, or not in Columbus, in California. They're talking about connecting LA to the Bay Area. That's yeah. been in the talks for years.
Right.
I guess they're getting close to do that, and they're gonna. I guess you can do a trip in a couple. It's gonna go. It's the highest of high speed from LA to the Bay Area. But you got more geography to cover there, obviously.
And also a little more traffic in LA than there yeah. is.
Oh, no, I'm not Columbus really comparing that, but I just think it's a great idea out there, too. I've never been to the Bay Area, and I would go to the Bay Area when I'm in LA.
To go on the train?
I would go up there for a couple nights, you know, because I wouldn't fly up there from LA. Yeah. Anyway, I like the idea of it, but I hear what you're saying about the alternatives of buses. It'd just be nice to connect the cities. To me, it would just bridge the gap a little more from Cleveland to Columbus and get the back and forth going, and vice versa. Get people up here more that wouldn't come up to Cleveland.
Yeah, I mean, I think that appeals to people's they think that, but I think in reality I just don't see it happening. I just think that we already have a route there with cars and buses, and that if people really wanted to go, like, you could get a bus.
Yeah.
But
now just to finish this off, Kasich is not in favor of this. I don't know if you mentioned that. And he's, I guess, been threatening to not spend the money that the federal government wants to give him. It seems like he's kind of putting this thing to bed.
Yeah, and I don't know enough about it that if it's just the governor's call, like whatever the governor wants, if there's other things at play, or I don't know. Anyway, moving on. Boy, we have 15 minutes left and so many things to talk about, Jeff. What should we do?
I do want to plug in this or give a quick shout out about Crawl into Cleveland. It's a fantastic bar crawl I did 2 years ago. These people have been doing this, they're friends of friends, this is the 13th year they've been doing this. They do around November, December, usually people are home for a holiday. They do these 12, it's, I think it's a 14 bar tour, starting in West Lakewood at around the corner, moving east through Lakewood and then into the Warehouse District. And I did it in 08, it was a lot of fun, I'm doing it again, getting people together. It's the Saturday after Thanksgiving, the 27th, can't wait for Crawl into Cleveland. I ordered my shirt, I am on board.
Nice. So yes. This starts in Lakewood.
Yes, around the corner.
So how many bars did you say?
12 to 14.
Now that's a lot of bars.
So my thinking is I'm going to have a beer, maybe every other one. Obviously, you know, that could be a long day if you're trying to drink at every place.
Yeah, 14
but beers. People will, trust me.
Yeah, that's true. People will.
But yeah, so it's just a great, like I say, people home for the holiday. It's great excuse to see people who aren't around usually. And like I say, I did an 08, and I thought it was the best time ever. And luckily, they just announced they're doing it again.
The best time in the history of the world, would you say?
Not as good as the Clarks, right behind the Clarks, number two. And then also that weekend, that day, the Saturday after Thanksgiving, the 27th, is the Pigskin Classic. It's the Ohio State-Michigan game. I know you were down there last year for this in the Warehouse District. They basically rope off West 6th by St. Clair, and they have a big block party. There's a 5K race in the morning through downtown by Cleveland Brown Stadium back up to Warehouse District. And then there's a big block party, barbecue, beer tickets, for the whole Ohio State-Michigan game that Saturday.
So the Pigskin Classic is Saturday the 27th, yes. And Crawling to Cleveland is Friday the 26th?
Crawling to Cleveland is that later that night, the 27th Saturday.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And then also on the 27th Saturday is the Downtown Cleveland Winterfest 2010. That starts at, there's some events going on at Tower City at 10 a.m. or concerts start at Public Square at 4 that afternoon. But they're going to have horse-drawn carriage rides, Guitar Hero Challenge. Have you done Guitar Hero? Have you played?
Yeah, I have. I love it. Actually, yeah. I want to get a Wii here.
Yeah. I have one at my place. Guitar Hero Challenge, Radio Disney. It's something for you, Jeff. Radio Disney stage show.
I can't wait. I actually already got my ticket.
I know how you love radio. It's free. It is free. Free concert. Wow. So somebody ripped you off by selling you that ticket.
$100 to get into this Radio Disney thing.
Maybe it's a backstage kind of pass thing. Concerts. Santa is going to be there. Another thing for you. Ice sculpting. I think it's watching people. I don't think that's like
I heard they give you a chisel.
Okay.
They give you an ice pick.
Is that included in your $100 ticket?
That's what it says.
Here's your ticket and your ice pick.
Go have it.
Then you start handing out ice picks at Public Square.
Yep.
To like everyone that asked for
That's one. How I bring in the holidays, ice picks. Ice picks and Disney.
Fireworks? There's going to be fireworks?
You know how I do. I do enjoy a good fireworks.
Which is going to be confusing for, I guess now fireworks is, it used to just be 4th of July, like it was a special thing. Now, even they're whoring out fireworks everywhere.
Talk about whoring out fireworks. Even Cleveland State, I know it's like, it was middle of October. I look out, you know, out my window, you can see, and Cleveland State had a fireworks display for it was like an orientation or some sort of special tour. They had fireworks.
Just everything.
It was like a Thursday night in October for no reason.
We should start every episode of fireworks. Radio Show with Jeff and Jeremy with fireworks.
We should whore out fireworks. I just like the phrase whore out fireworks.
Maybe that will get somebody to listen to our show.
We have to launch them out of our hands maybe to get people to watch.
Sculpting fireworks. And then that night, okay, so then that night you can go to the Pigskin Classic, right?
Well, that's really a day thing.
Okay.
For the block.
Crawling to Cleveland's that
Crawling to Cleveland's that night, yeah.
Or they have a winter wine and ale fest at 200 Public Square, which used to be the BP building, and now I think it's going to be Huntington's moving in there.
Is it nameless now?
It is nameless. This is 200 Public Square. I think they're going to call it the Huntington building and put like a big Huntington sign on the side of it, but.
Okay.
You heard it here first, folks. But they're going to have a winter wine and ale fest from 8 to midnight with 20 local wineries and breweries inside the lobby there right off Public Square. And that's $40 a person. So that is a lot of frickin' things going on.
It's all in one day. Why?
I know.
Why is that not spread out more? Because the next weekend, you know, there will be nothing.
Yeah. But like you said, it's that Thanksgiving weekend where everyone comes home.
Well, I think that the real difference too is that plus Ohio State, Michigan's usually a week earlier. It's a little later this year. Plus, you have the lighting of the square, and it just makes for a great weekend. Though I'm not complaining. It's going to be a lot of fun in Cleveland.
I don't know how I'm going to be able to choose what I want to do though.
I know. I've got mine lined up. This wine thing sounds great, but I'm committed to the crawl.
But you know what I want to do right now, Jeff? It's 8:03. We're bringing back the segment that everyone loves, and I'm sure the chat room's going to react to this, but we're bringing back music penetration.
I want to penetrate some lyrics.
Now, explain what music penetration is.
Jeremy, this is a segment that I'm going to give you credit, and even though I came up with it. We came up with this segment several weeks ago because we were talking, you know, you're driving around listening to a song, and you know the rhythms, but you're thinking, what are these songs really trying to say?
Right, because lots of times you'll hear the song, you might sing along with it, but you don't even know what you're singing.
Instead of not even saying the right words, you're thinking you're saying the right words. But so we thought, you know what? Let's debunk some of these songs.
So we penetrate into the lyrics.
We want to get behind the rhythms, into the words, and really decipher these songs that you love and that you listen to every day.
All right.
Today we have Ludacris.
Today is Ludacris. By Ludacris, the name of the song is Get Back.
Yes.
All right. How are we doing this?
I want you to start it off.
Okay. Jeremy. Here's the intro. Heads up, here's another one, and another one.
Now, do you think he has a stuttering? Is there a stuttering issue there?
It could be.
Because that's not, I mean, I feel bad. You know, no one, yeah, that's horrible.
I think that's how Ludacris, or Luda, as I
Luda,
call him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how they...
So he's having trouble getting his words out in the beginning. Maybe he's nervous, Jeremy.
But something's coming, so I'm kind of
excited
about this.
Do you think he's nervous?
I'm sure. I mean, he's ludicrous. All right. So then in parentheses it says, yeek, yeek, whoop, whoop.
Now, is that like a cough?
I think he's got a whooping cough.
A whooping cough?
A whooping cough.
That's serious.
Why you all in my ear talking a whole bunch... are we swearing on this show? We shouldn't swear on this show. Talking a whole bunch of stuff that I ain't trying to hear. Get back, mother effer, you don't know me like that. Get back, mother effer, you don't know me like that.
So let's see what's going on. In my mind, someone's coming up to him. They're saying, hey, Luda, I got, like, maybe Luda's, maybe he's got something. Maybe he's got a problem where this guy is saying, hey, Luda, you're out of control. You got to stop doing whatever.
Right.
Luda,
he's saying something.
Luda, I'm your friend, Luda. I want to help you, and I think you're making some bad decisions, Luda, right?
Right.
And Luda's saying, whoa.
He's saying, whoa. Yeek, yeek, whoop, whoop.
Yeek, yeek.
Whoop, whoop.
Do you think this maybe is an intervention? They're trying to, like, there's an intervention with Luda? Or is it one person or a group of people trying to talk to him? Who's trying to get up in his ear?
Well, I think that's what we're going to have to move forward here. All right. I ain't playing around. Make one false move. I'll take you down.
Like a tackle or like a gunshot?
See, it's just unclear. And that's the problem that I think with some of these lyrics is it's really getting behind the
I think we have to
lyrics.
Give our listeners the... I think it's a tackling move. He's not going to... Okay. He wants to just tell his friend, look, I'm going to take you down. We're going to stop this. He tackles him.
You're right. You're better at this than me. Okay. So I'm glad you agree. So come on. Don't get swung on. It's the knick-knack paddywhack still riding Cadillacs. Family off the street made my homies put the baggies back. Now, it's the knick-knack paddywhack. So it's like a children's game, but he's still riding a Cadillac. So he's still riding a nice car.
But he's got a childlike approach to life.
Yeah.
He's very innocent.
Right.
Luda is like a little kid.
He's like us.
He's one of us.
In our innocence.
He's little Luda, you know, a little kid.
Right. Still snagging plaques.
So he's getting a lot of awards.
Right. Or I'm thinking...
Community service?
I'm thinking maybe he's not brushing his teeth.
Oh, I'm thinking like awards.
Because sometimes, you know, sometimes these rappers, you see them, they have what do they call... Grills. Because I think that a lot of them aren't really up on their dental hygiene.
So, like, still snagging tartar?
Still snagging tartar, right, plaque.
Yeah.
Still snagging plaque, tartar. Yeah.
Okay.
Still action-packed and dope. All right. Okay. I keep it flying like acrobats. That's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah, we all get like that. Circus thing. It'd be insulting to explain that.
Right. That's why I pack a Mac that'll crack a back, because on my waist... There's more than the Shaq attack. Now, this is, you know, like a poet like Ludacris is able to just put these rhyming words together.
This is a great rhyming scheme. You know,
crack back. This sounds like
Shaq attack.
And Shaq attack.
Come on, that's the finale.
It's probably like sometimes you start with Shaq attack and you're like, what can I rhyme with attack?
Pack a Mac.
Back, pack, Mac, crack.
Crack a back, because on my waist there's more heat than Shaq attack. It makes sense to me, Jeremy.
Yeah. All right.
Wait, is he speaking about balling? He's got to be. Well, so Jeremy, at this point, I'm thinking, okay, he's got to be talking about balling.
But look at the next line here, though.
Okay.
But I ain't speaking about balling.
Oh, well, there goes just that theory.
Thinking about brawling.
Brawling.
Till you are stalled balling.
So he wants to get a pickup basketball game, and he's willing to fight for that game to happen. Does that make sense?
See, at first he's not speaking about balling.
Yeah.
He's thinking about brawling. But then when they start balling, then he's thinking like, all right, maybe I will play some basketball with you.
Because maybe he's like, maybe basketball is better than brawling. Is that the impression?
I think so.
And so he's having second thoughts about his brawling idea.
Yeah, this is a good message,
I think. Yeah, so Luda's finally saying, you know what, guys? Instead of fighting this out on the playground, let's fight it out on the basketball court, first 1-10.
Right.
Is that what you're getting?
That's what I'm feeling. Okay. Maybe a game of horse.
You know, Luda, I salute you because I think that's a great way to solve problems.
Yeah.
You and I, how many times have you and I gone out back when we have a disagreement and we shoot hoops
and we settle
out that way?
Yeah, until we hit horse. It takes a while.
It does, but we stop brawling and we shoot hoops.
Gets the aggression out.
Yeah.
We all in together now, birds of the feather now, just bought a plane, so we change in the weather now. So they're up in the plane, which is in a cloud.
Yeah.
And that's where they can change their pants.
They're changing their clothes, obviously, because they just play basketball.
In the weather or in the clouds.
Yeah, they're up in the clouds and they're changing clothes. I get that.
Again, it's poetic.
We've all done that.
Yeah. So put your brakes on. Cats, put your capes on. Now, what does that mean, Jeff? What is
you don't get this?
When I think of cats, I don't normally think of them wearing capes.
I means like, you know, cats, like the show cats.
Oh, okay.
You know, like the little girls that are in shows, there are cats that are like in shows too. Like pageants.
Okay. Like toddlers and tiaras.
Yeah.
But cats.
But cats are, there's pageants.
And so they're wearing
capes. I can't believe you don't know this.
So you dress them up?
There's pageants for cats, of course. Oh, Luda's getting his cats ready for a big pageant.
You're much more aware of the world.
I mean, I was on the street, don't forget, for a number of years.
And knock off your block, get dropped, and have your face blown.
I think he's talking to the judges in this cat pageant.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah. Because
he's sort of threatening them.
I have the best
cat. My cat, he's saying, hey, judge, my cat better win this pageant, or you're going to get your face blown.
When I put my pussy on stage, the judges love it.
Right.
Is what he's saying.
That's right. What he's saying. Because he'll prove it when they go on stage. Next line.
Because I'll prove it.
Yeah.
Scratch off the mute. Scratching from the cats.
Right. Because they're. I thought he declawed them. Was that implied? They were declawed?
No, I don't think
so. Oh, okay.
So.
I'm sorry.
No,
I might have picked that up earlier.
No,
okay.
No, I think that's cruel.
Because that's why they have the scratching. Okay. Because they'll prove it. Scratch off the music. Hey, little stupid, don't make me lose it. So he's calling his cat stupid. I don't think that's a good
name.
Was
he calling the judge or the cat stupid? Or the cat maybe just didn't? Like, yeah. Sometimes when you put, like, in Toddlers and Tears, like, the girl is out there and she doesn't spin the right direction.
Yeah. So the cat, he's like, hey, for stupid
dad's
cat.
Like, oh,
yeah.
When you get home.
Right.
John Benet.
We went there.
I saw. I hit him right
so
dead in the jaw.
So he hit a judge in the jaw because the cat lost
the
pageant?
Or the judge?
This I think he's done. Oh, no, he's talking him. I think the judge didn't give the cat a very good score.
Yeah.
And then Luda said, you know what, judge? Instead of bawling,
right.
Here's what I thought Luda would have done. Take the judge out and settle this over a game of hoops.
Yeah.
Luda went back to his old ways of brawling.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe he's going to come around and correct himself.
Okay, let's see.
See, I caught him with the right hook. Caught him with a jab, caught him with an uppercut, kicked him in his ass. Huh. See, that's kind of a weird, it's like punch, 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 ass kick. Seems a little...
Like, was the ass kick the
like
finale?
Like, spin him around
I think
or something?
The ass kick was like the last one, like there. I'm
yeah,
done.
Yeah, but it's kind of a weird, like, who kicks,
yeah,
kicks him in his bottom?
It's not conventional.
Sent him on his way, because I ain't for that talk. And
wait, but at least they'll probably go to the country and relax and hang out, right?
Well, no trips to the country, Jeff. He ain't for that walk. Oh. He doesn't want to walk to the country. He's a city boy.
Yeah,
boy. He's got his cat pageants going on with his placky teeth.
Yeah.
We split like two pins at the end of a lane. This seems to be a bowling reference.
Yeah. So now he's talking about bowling because that makes sense.
Right. We took bowling when we were young.
We did. Yeah.
Will knock out your spotlight and put end to your fame. So, again, still talking about the judge. Like,
yeah.
He's not
he loves,
a famous judge.
Luda loves his cat pageants.
Right. Maybe the judge, he's on that, like, an Animal Planet show.
Yeah.
He's like,
that's
got to like
be
a famous
it.
Cat thing.
That's
and
it, yep.
Now he's like, look, I'm putting an end to your fame.
Yeah.
Holding DTP pinned at the end of your chain. What does DTP mean?
DTP, is that a cat pageant term?
I think it might be. Yeah, but I don't know. If anyone knows, DTP, hate mail at radio show.
We know it's something with cat pageants, but if we can get some more clarity on that.
Yeah, something with a cat pageant. And put the booty of a swish at the end of a flame.
Well, I get that.
Right.
Okay.
Is this back to the basketball thing?
Yeah, he's back to the basketball thing.
Okay, okay.
This is the swish reference, yeah. Well, that, I mean, that to me now, I feel like I understand the song a lot more.
Okay.
People don't realize Get Back is actually about a pageant of cats.
Yeah, yeah. So, glad we were able to analyze that ludicrous song. I think, I feel like we actually helped.
Yeah.
I feel better.
This is another one now. Jeremy, three songs now we've successfully decoded.
Another music penetration.
Another penetration. We should have an alarm.
Or a bell.
Or a bell.
Something to ding. And, you know, we're running out of time here because it's 8:13. But for next week, a new segment that we're going to launch, Favorite Things.
Yes.
Similar to Oprah?
Maybe, but maybe also different, Jeremy.
Yep.
And so, that we're not going to give anyone anything.
So you're going to have to wait till... don't give this all away, Jeff.
Sorry.
You're supposed to be teasing it. You're going to have to wait till episode 14 to hear that. So, yeah. So check out radioshowonline.com. We do this show live every Monday night at 7:30 p.m. Check it out, radioshowonline.com. You can subscribe to the podcast in case you don't want to listen to it live. In case you have something more exciting going on a Monday night.
I've heard we're better on tape recorded. People have told me that. They've come up to me and said that.
Yeah. I heard we're better drunk.
Yeah, we should be drinking again.
Us drunk, or the listeners.
I'm going to pledge this. Next Monday night is a short work week, we all know, with Thanksgiving. Let's have a drinking show next week, Jeremy.
A drinking show?
Yeah.
Okay, it's going to be a drinking show and favorite things, which is kind of ironic because drinking is one of our favorite things.
Like they're one and the same.
So, all right. For a radio show with Jeff and Jeremy, this is Jeremy.
This is Jeff, L.
Good night, everybody.